It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. Adam Hill is here, so that means it's a no-conflict Friday. Rules to follow. James has us all set up at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We're going to talk Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame in two different parts of the show today. The Hall of Fame induction ceremonies next week. So we'll have part of the show out at the Lees Family Forum, and we'll be here as well, Treasure Island, next Friday. But we'll have a couple of people come in to talk about the induction of Jesse Leeds and Tony Bonici from Lotus Broadcasting, who are going in for creating what you're listening to right now, which is ESPN Las Vegas and three other stations and the broadcast rights to most of the professional franchises in town and some good talk shows.
Yeah, I would say being responsible for creating this mess is probably not what got them in. There's a lot of other sports programming that they've been responsible for.
We hit Tony Bonici in on Tuesday, and it was like, just a little advice, don't mention us.
No.
I don't want to get booed.
Yes,
or have Adam booed by a couple thousand people at the least.
It would happen.
Especially with some of your takes lately. I've been putting out social media with some of the videos and audio and just, you know, putting out direct quotes, and, man, people are getting fired up.
My favorite was this morning, actually. It was discussed on the press box.
Oh, it was? Which
and
one?
Ed was mocking me.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, Adam's taking a lot of grief. He's like, he said something really stupid, and Tyler said, well, what did he say? And he said there's at least 150 players better than Larry Bird in the NBA today, and there's just dead silence, and Tyler's like, yeah, of course there is. He's like, do you not believe in evolution?
Did Ed just put his head down and start writing?
I think so. I was listening.
That was it.
So
it was just silence after that.
Yeah, it was.
So we're providing material. Yeah. The grief you're getting and the guff you're getting is actually providing material for the morning show now.
Sure.
Good.
And Tyler is correct.
You've got a lot of people on your side because, like I told you, I think I said it off the air, there's no one who dislikes 1980 sports and the athletes and the often over-the-top adulation thrown at those athletes than one Greg Salerno. And I don't, you know, sometimes you read the book, and in this case, it's kind of a chubby book. You read it, and you're like, I didn't expect that from him. He's consistently surprised me with his takes.
Yeah, and his open warrants.
He does have a lot of arrest in his background and quite the criminal background, which is kind of cool. I think you and I talk a good game. We don't deliver like he does. Like he's been on the run from the law for a long time. We need that. We needed a true outlaw on the show.
He's about that life.
He is about that. Well, too much. That's a problem. And it goes on for years and years and years. Speaking about that life, we're going to talk about the WNBA, and Willie Ramirez is about that life. So he's going to be over at the MUA, MicUltra Arena, for the game tonight. Aces back in town taking on the Seattle Storm.
Red hot Seattle Storm.
Hopefully we get a competitive game, because last night's game, man, that was over in about 15 minutes. Your Mavs. Got trounced. Well, you're a very big Luka guy, especially if you're comparing him to players of the past. Yeah. Your Mavs?
Yeah, my Mavs.
Okay.
You know, I would say not only a great team on the floor, but the best run organization in professional sports, clearly. A very just a management that, you know, takes care of their employees and wants the best for their players and treats them like family. As they do with all of their employees. I think it would be great in a not only a well-deserved championship for the Mavs, but also just good for everybody involved in the organization from top to bottom. And, you know, it starts with leadership at the top and all the way down to the players and everyone at that level.
Is June employee review time at the RJ, and does the biggest boss of all the bosses actually sign off on this? Is that what's going on right now?
No, I'm just looking from afar. With no connection at all to the Mavericks organization.
So before we get to the game, because it wasn't much of a game, but there are some conclusions to get out of it. It's not freak-out time, but the Celtics beat the hell out of the Mavs, and you had warned everyone that it was kind of a hornet's nest going into whatever they call their garden now in Boston, and they win big. Let's stay on this theme for a second, because you're referencing the family that owns the newspaper and the folks that just bought in to take over the maps from Mark Cuban. The Adelsons. Do you expect to ever have an opportunity to maybe be around the Mavericks? Like, when they come for Summer League, shouldn't you have some access? Like, hey, you know what? RJ employees get to go to a VIP meet and greet and talk to Jason Kidd, and Lively's going to be there.
No, I don't think we want to treat them differently than we'd treat any other team.
It's a good point. Your objectivity.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You're a journalist. Speaking of this, did you see our buddy who used to run the show here was a beloved personality for Lotus Broadcasting and loved in the building as well?
Sure.
Damon Cotton.
A lot of sarcasm flying around.
No, not, no, no, no. No, not at all. What are you talking about? Was that that delivery? beloved figure around Lotus Broadcasting. I saw Damon yesterday because Damon is now working.
We know you saw him. You posted just a very grainy photo with each other.
I look terrible. He was sitting. He was working at the pool watching the game, and I was like, oh, let's get a quick picture. And I knelt down, like, in a catcher's position, and I was, like, straining my face. I was like, and I was being blinded by the sun.
Sure.
So I saw him, and I had him send me another picture because I don't know if you know this, but with DraftKings and VSiN, I guess they have team building. I don't know if you have team building activities.
Every day is a team building activity when you're all a family.
Oh, okay. He had recently gone to a DK sushi making class.
Okay.
So I have some pictures of him making the sushi. I'm like, what life has he stepped into?
Did it look good?
It looked delicious. Okay. But most important, he looked whole. He just looked happy after making the sushi.
I'm glad for him. It's what he deserves.
Which, speaking of VSiN, we're going to talk to Mitch Moss, who's going to come on and talk a little bit about Tony Bonici and Jesse Leeds and the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and the LV Sports Network.
Never heard of him.
I want to find out if Mitch is in on these sushi-making classes, and I guess they have a lot of cool activities.
It sounds like it.
He looks so happy.
Mitch or DeMont?
I'll let it float out there.
Sure.
So why did the Mavs get trounced?
Well, Kyrie was terrible, for one. And I actually... Look, I think you look at the final stats, and it's easy to say Luka played well. I don't know if that's the case, especially because does he know that there is two sides of the court?
Uh-oh. This is what we tried to address a few days ago about, you know, when people argue that he's the best player in the NBA, there is another side to it.
Yeah.
He was not ready defensively, and he also there was a moment where he just kind of looked gassed, and maybe it was the energy of the building and the run that the Celtics were on, but he had back-to-back possessions where on offense and defense, he just didn't run down the floor. Then he goes out for, like, the final 3 minutes of the first quarter. I think I have the timing right. He went out for 3 minutes of gameplay, and the lead went from 6 to 17. So it's like, bro, you got to be on the floor. And when you're out there, I don't know what happened. I'm guessing that there was a little bit of an adrenaline dump, even for Luka.
Sure.
And he kind of exhausted himself quickly, and they made him look bad at different times. His final numbers, okay, but it didn't matter because it was out of reach by the time he started putting up numbers.
Well, look, he's in fantastic shape, and he'll be fine. My coworker.
Oh, boy, here we go.
My coworker, Luka. I think he'll be just fine. He'll be great.
Oh, wow. Maybe this is the whole reason for your take that started here last week about Luka love and saying that, like you said in the opening minutes, Larry Bird is not a top 150 player in the NBA if he's playing today.
He's not.
God, you love Luka.
But, no, I mean, I do think we need to point out the other side of things, and that Boston was really, really good. And especially to have a talent, and you know, I think people forget because he's, you know, on a team where he's not the best player, to have a talent like Porzingis come off the bench and do what he did in terms of bringing energy in that first, like, late in that first quarter, it was over. Like, the game was over. I know that Dallas made a little bit of a run in the second half, but you know, that game was over after Porzingis did what he did, injecting that kind of energy off the bench for them and looked very healthy and very fresh.
We're live here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Treasure Island is a site, free parking out back, so come on down. Hang out at the Golden Circle. They have a great menu, including the apps like the mini pork bites. They got multiple types of Loco Moco. A lot of fans from this show of the chicken salad sandwich, they love it. You get a Reuben and a beer. You can get the fish and chips and a beer. Good place to hang out on a Friday for happy hour and beyond to watch the games tonight. 55-plus TVs here at Treasure Island.
hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
And sitting next to the big guys, Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal sports writer. He covers everything. I want to start here. Let's embarrass Adam a little bit. We met Adam now probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago when we came in from L.A. to do a show at the South Point for Mad Dog, and Adam came on the show. You're a freaking natural. Like, I don't know why you're not on this network all the time. Every time I see or hear you, you're freaking tremendous.
Wow, the love last week on VSiN with Maher and the big guy, Dustin. And funny enough, when you think back, I actually believe Mitch Moss is with us. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys?
How about that intro?
Pretty strong. That was... Adam, my God, I know that you love hearing words like that, right, pal?
That was very comfortable.
Oh, believe me. Mitch, he went on for 30 minutes and did an interview and just talked about how hard he works and he doesn't have a life and you got to have dedication. Oh, he loved it. Yeah. And Maher was bowing at it. It was crazy. He loved it.
Yeah, the entire segment, I can see it right now. In fact, I'm going to go back and listen to that.
You should.
It's tremendous.
I highly recommend it. I'll send it to you because the vast sound creator Lotus rolled on it.
Thanks.
I want to talk about some history here at Lotus Broadcasting and you know, your background before you moved over to VSiN, and we're going to talk about Tony Bonnici and Jesse Leeds going into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame next week. Whose tree is Adam on? Like, on the broadcast tree, all the people you've developed, Mitch.
All the people that I've developed?
Yeah, I don't know. Where did Adam start in the LBC?
I know the answer. It's before either of you guys, first of all.
Okay.
It was Superstar Sports Dude.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Sports Dude.
Well, I think I was in high school when he put me on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Quality control.
Yeah.
So you were like, what, 16, 17? Do I have this right? Were you like 16, 17 working at Excalibur and also coming on once in a while with Superstar?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Stop. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was good.
The Sports Dude, here's what I loved about the Sports Dude. I haven't talked to him in a long time. And he would do the UNLV like pre-games for many, many years during football. This goes back to, the really bleak years, right? Every week, no matter who the company, they could have been a 37-point underdog. It's going to be a pummeling, but he meant UNLV was going to win. And that he would use that phrase every single game. It's going to be a pummeling. He would pump his fist like 10 or 12 times. It's pretty cool.
It's good.
My God.
When I was in college, he used to have me on the pregame show right outside Sam Boyd Stadium. And I would come on and, do the show with him, and he'd always bring on somebody else. Just like a random person who was trying to, break into the business or something. And
really?
I'd be like, okay, who's this person? This is good. But he's always trying to reach out and help people get their start.
Damn, you better get a shout-out by Bonnici or Leeds next week. Mitch, when did you start at Lotus, and how did you get the job? Who hired you?
How about this? So I started in, very early 2001, and John Hanson actually took over as the TD in, I don't know, give or take. It was late 2000, we'll call it. And I had never met Tony Bonnici, but John, convinced Tony that they were going to be expanding, shows and how much they wanted to do locally. And the Outlaws were going to be a big deal in the XFL. That was right around the corner. So they were going to be doing local stuff towards that. And John told him that he wanted to bring on a producer and that he had a guy. And, I was the guy that he had in mind. And Tony just agreed to it and hired me sight unseen.
What?
And just trusted John 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I, had to go through some legal things, whatever else, but never met the guy in person. And I got the job before I moved out to Las Vegas. And, before I ever saw him actually in Las Vegas. So he just trusted John. And, that was that. For him to put that much faith into John and then, into me, indirectly at the same exact time, that was pretty awesome. And as a 24-year-old who I was going to move up to Las Vegas one way or another just because it's, my favorite city in the world. And I worked in radio back in Wisconsin, and to land a job and stay in that career that I went to school for, I'm like, okay, now this is exactly what I was hoping would happen at some point in my career, early on. And he's to thank for that for sure.
It's Mitch Moss, legendary radio personality here in Las Vegas. Is that fair? I think it's fair. Joining us here, discussing Tony Bonnici and Jesse Leeds going in the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. When you heard Tony's going in, what is your maybe your lasting memory of him, and what do you think his legacy is in terms of developing sports radio broadcasting in Vegas?
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Like, I guess I'm not surprised he wasn't in yet, but he was going to get in inevitably, and really, if they wanted to put him in 15 years ago, they could have. So, no doubt, first ballot, whatever, absolute lock that he was going to be in. And now that this city has expanded and, we have as many pro teams as we do at this point, the popularity has gotten compared now to where we were, 9 years ago when the fantasy football thing got axed by the NFL that Tony Romo was going to put on. And to get to this point, he was, they had at least two AM sports radio stations already, and they wanted to carry everything, everything imaginable. So they probably were carrying the Raiders back then when they were in Oakland at the same time as the Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers and Sunday Night Football, along with countless other teams. The Lakers, of course, been with them for a long, long time, but they wanted to dominate the local market, and they always thought, now it seems like it's simple, right, because of how much we have here, but if you go back a long time ago, it wasn't that easy when we didn't have that many local talking points here every single day, and they just believed in sports and thought it could be really, really big. And so, they were into that before I got out there in 2001, so they had the vision to realize that, how big sports radio was at the time and how big it could have been, and they wanted to be a part of it for sure.
Mitch Moss is with us, former ESPN Las Vegas host. Now we're at VSiN doing the morning show, Follow the Money. You can hear that on both 12:30 The Game and on Raider Nation Radio 920 at different parts of the day. VSiN is on there. Last thing on what they do here at LV Sports Network, and I know you've had a good experience at VSiN. What I told him the other day, because Tony was on for an extended period on Tuesday's Cofield and Company, and I said, I appreciate the fact that you guys pretty much stay out of our hair. And the biggest thing for someone who's on air is you want to do a good program. You want to walk that line. You want to be able to express yourself. Sometimes you're going to be tough. It may be unpleasant. You may anger people. But I never felt like anyone was breathing down my neck or telling me I got to talk about this or don't ever talk about that. They pretty much leave us alone.
Could not say it any better myself. I mean, think about, and I'll go back again to those years where we didn't have much locally to talk about, how much guy talk we were doing. I would say that we were doing probably as much as any other sports talk show in the country, considering, how many hours we were on the air compared to other big markets at the time. And they, in a typical spot, a GM or a powerful PD could have been, okay, your ass is mine. I can't believe you guys were doing this. I've told you before not to do it, and yet he did it again.
Right.
So that's it. I mean, you're going to get. They could have suspended. They could have fired, but they were. I mean, he's the most loyal GM I could ever in this business. I could not imagine there's another GM with his loyalty, and you can tie that into Jesse Leeds as well at the same time. So I mean, it's for that company to know that you kind of had that at your back while you were working the whole time. You don't put it this way. I mean, Steve, a lot of people in a lot of different markets. What's the percentage of that happening in the radio clusters across the country? Is this it? Is Lotus Broadcasting like the only one?
I don't know if it's the only one, but it's pretty rare because it seems like hosts are getting moved all the time, and people are getting pissed off, and especially the corporate radio groups just don't stick. In tough times, they can't wait things out like 2-3 weeks for the heat to go down, and they flip out. So, you can develop as a great host and be a really good host here. Mitch is over on VSiN now. He's doing the morning show. By the way, Damon, I saw Damon yesterday. I got a question for you about the parent company. I talked to Damon, who used to be on Cofield and Company and over on Raider Nation Radio 920, and he's like, yeah, I went over to the DraftKings sushi making seminar. And John Von Tobel's like, I didn't know this was happening. Are you making sushi over at Draft? What's going on here with the team building there?
This is the first I've heard of it, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Already in. All the free stuff, he's got it, baby.
That's good for him. I will
look that up.
That building they built is amazing. That's incredible.
Let's talk about the NBA Finals. First of all, I was hanging with Von Tobel for about 25 minutes after. He was a Celtics series guy, and I think he laid like -1.5 games in the series. You surprised by what happened, and where were you going into the series?
I thought it could be a long series. I thought the key was going to be the guy who shined last night, because even though the Celtics got through the Eastern Conference, only two losses. I thought there were moments for sure where you're like, well, they missed Porzingis. Like, that probably wouldn't happen if Porzingis was on the court. And I think the perfect example would be the series against Indiana. You know, they swept them, but honestly, that could have been 3-1 Pacers after four games. That's, and you think you tie that into what the Mavericks have been all playoffs long. They have been absolute, they've been Mariano Rivera just closing these games out beautifully and winning all these contests that are coin flip games, which, like, that should not be able to continue, but it has been. They've been so good at it. So if the Celtics didn't have Porzingis back for the series, I would have been all over the Mavericks. I needed to see a play out for one game. Not that he's going to play like that for the entire series, but you could just tell. I mean, the roster management that they've had and how they have put this thing together, and Stevens working together with Mazzulla and that front office, just to land Porzingis and also Drew Holiday in the offseason to a team that was already going to be a final contender. It's just, it's ridiculous. When that guy is healthy, you saw what he meant on the court last night. I'm not going to say it's over with because Luka's so good, he might win game two on his own. But that was quite the performance, obviously, in game one.
What are we doing with the NHL finals starting tomorrow with Edmonton and Florida? I think nobody will be watching, but that doesn't mean we can't bet it.
Probably not. I'm the wrong guy to ask because I got pounded up pretty good on Dallas. I thought Dallas was a very cheap price against Edmonton, and Edmonton was awesome in that series. Now, is that going to continue with Skinner? I would say probably not. So I would lean towards Florida, obviously, but, I mean, you look at the best players in the series on the ice. McDavid's insane. Dreisaitl is just elite, obviously, with everything that he does, and they have other great guys. But I don't disagree with what, you know, Wayne Gretzky said. After, I think they were previewing the series after the final game of the Edmonton Dallas set, and he just basically said, Florida got here last year. They're you know, and he said there are four parts of the season. It's the preseason, the regular, the post, and then the Stanley Cup. The fact that they were here last year to go through what they did, and they got embarrassed by Vegas, and they only got better throughout the entire year, and Edmonton doesn't have to fall back on. You know, does that really matter? The great one says it does. Who knows? And overall, on paper, the power rating for Florida is slightly better, and they have the home ice. So, I don't know. I got burned so badly against Edmonton the first time. I don't really want to bet against them again.
Mitch, we appreciate a couple minutes. Enjoy the weekend, and if you got some time off, enjoy that as well. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Good to talk to you again. You good?
You too. Thanks, man.
Didn't sound real genuine. You got issues with him? What's the problem?
No.
Okay. Got it real quiet. Well, I mean, here's the thing. You are a devotee to their show. Of all the shows on VSiN, you go on with those guys. But I got to tell you, folks, we'll talk about it on the way back. I get a text from someone this morning. They're like, hey, Adam Hill, his rant is going to be addressed on NPR in just a couple of minutes.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
That was a good spot. Just talking about the longtime management of Lotus Broadcasting, put together this whole thing with all these sports stations, sports talk shows, broadcast rights, Tony Vannici, Jesse Leeds going into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. John Cesenti, who I don't know if he's in or he gets introduced as if he's in. I don't know if he's in or not. I know he's a big part of it. I think he's on the board. They have a lot of titles over there. So True. He's always got new titles, too. I'll have to ask him. Oh. He's like some bowl head honcho now, not just Las Vegas Bowl. I think.
I want a title. I'm going to ask if I can get one. Been around long enough. Also, me and John are neighbors, too.
I didn't know that.
I popped into my Starbucks a couple weeks ago. He was sitting there in the front, in the patio.
He's a So-High guy?
Yeah.
Suit and sneakers?
I believe he had sneakers. Also, okay.
He claims to have invented the suit and sneaker look.
I know.
Which is
highly suspect. I tried to pull it off. It didn't really work. When I was going to something with him at it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, good try.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he's also a sneakerhead. He's got some really expensive sneakers. You'll have to get into that again with him, how many pairs of sneakers he's got.
Sure. He also commented because as I pulled up, because I just pulled up, left my car door open, and went in and got my, you know, mobile order of coffee. And he was basically like, stereo's pretty loud.
Wow, cranky loud. Old man.
Well, it was also a podcast, so it's like, it's probably obnoxious.
I think he's younger than you.
I don't think so.
No, hold on. I screwed that up.
No. No, because I was...
No, he's you're right. He's a little bit older.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah.
But I was interning with the Thunder in college, and he was working for them.
So. Oh, that's right, the connection.
Yeah.
The mascot connection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get a text this morning. I don't know if you people out there just tuning in, if you missed about 4 minutes ago, I went to break and said, hey, you know, Adam Hill's making the radio rounds. So they were giving him love on VSIN, their afternoon show, saying, I don't know why you're not here. So Adam could be over there pretty soon. I don't think you have the NPR voice.
I do.
You did a pretty good job today on the with the NPR voice. It's just very baseline. I can't do it. They brought you on, but here's the thing. I got a text before you came on. What is that, 88.9? And I got a text, or 89? I'll look it up again. I got a text before you came on, and they're like, oh, they're having Adam on for his rant. And I was like, NPR is going to have Adam on about Larry Bird and evolution? I was like, maybe.
I think it'd be a fitting topic.
Well, they do a big tease. They do like a 30-minute tease. I got to learn that in radio. I only do like 10-minute teases. So then you come on, and you talked about gays.
Wait, what?
In sports.
Sure.
And social media and Pride Month. I didn't even read the story. I found out that you wrote the story. Some ladies coming through the raucous. They're fired up.
It's Vegas.
Yes, we want this. I think you're looking for Gillies. Where's that bull? So.
Nobody's riding a bull at 3:30 in the afternoon.
You never know. This is the time to do it. It's hot out. You come in from the pool.
Fair.
A little bit sauced.
Sure.
Get on the bull.
Sure.
Stonies. That was a good pop for Stonies. Your conversation was fascinating, and I want to hit this a little bit more on the 5 o'clock hour, but in a nutshell, you did some research with people who actually have to work on the social media departments in sports around these Pride times, and you just said the comments on there sometimes are just horrific.
Yeah, so it was June 1st when I wrote the column, so it was the first day of Pride Month, so a lot of teams around the world of sports had just posted very innocuous, hey, we love everyone. Happy Pride Month. Nothing offensive or, you know, nothing that could really annoy or offend anyone. That's not how the comments went. There was plenty of supportive, too, but just a lot of really gross ones. And I actually happened to be sitting with some people who work in social media and some sports organizations who basically were saying, yeah, we don't even post anything, not because we're not supportive, but because we don't have the staff to sit there and delete comments of all the people that are just saying horrific, gross things. So we just choose to not post it, even though we want to, because it's just not worth doing it. We don't have the manpower to delete all these awful things. And so I started looking around at some of the other teams, especially teams locally, and yeah, it was there. Now you can see as they're going, and I'm reading some awful ones, they're being deleted like right away, but it's...
Oh, really?
I would assume that there's like a full staff of people trying to go through and all the different social media accounts trying to get rid of some of these things. And it was bad. It's a very disturbing thing to hear, but to just kind of see it in action definitely got to me and got me to write that column.
The new fans are sucking the fucking life out of the WNBA right now. It's just the truth. You are right, new fans. There has never been more viewership because of Caitlin Clark. There's never been more attention. But you know what there was in the WNBA last year and the years prior? There was other storylines. There was joy. There was talk of competition. There was talk of what was actually happening on the court.
Give me a break. Want to cry, baby. No, I feel like we play that Elle Duncan rant from her podcast earlier in the week, and the more I've thought about it, I really feel like, and maybe Willie's one of these people too, I really feel like people who cover a sport, and I think you and I saw this with the UFC, as a sport blows up and people were there media-wise at the beginning, I almost think they're uncomfortable with the masses coming in and covering it because they're like, it's my sport. Like, it's not your sport, okay? There are other storylines. Willie Ramirez is with us. He's down at the Muat, McUltra. The Storm and the Aces are going to go at it tonight. Willie, how are you?
Doing good.
Do you feel... what do you think about that?
I missed half of it because it was when Griffin brought it up, so I missed the the rejoin, and I didn't hear what Elle said, and I saw you sent it over on the topics list, but I didn't hear what she said. I've been
she's just frustrated with the new fans, and that the old storylines, or lots of storylines, now they're not getting addressed anymore, and I think that's a bunch of bunk. There are people out there covering all the storylines, the additional storylines, like you at WGRamirez.com.
Right, and that's I think that's a struggle on so many different angles from everywhere, right? Because you become used to the normal storylines, the usual storylines, and that's what you're looking for. You have your paper of record in each town, like, for instance, the Review Journal here, right? So that's your go-to. But then you have all these other, you know, sites that are enthused about covering the W, and they either don't know about it, they're not paying attention to it, they don't know where to find it, but with the added fan base and the added coverage, there's going to be added storyline. So you have to take, as you've been saying for months now, added exposure means there's going to be added storylines, whether it's good, bad, negative, critical, it doesn't matter. But you have to take the good with the bad. More news is good news. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's more exposure. But I agree, because, you know, for me, someone who's just trying to do what I'm doing at WGRamirez.com, you do everything you can to get your links out there. I mean, and I'm not writing hard-hitting critical pieces. I'm trying to write good features, you know what I mean? So to get the word out is difficult. It can be tough.
Yeah, I think her point was there's all these new fans and all these new people, quote-unquote, watching the game, but the stories don't matter. She's saying the only things that matter is one player, which is true, too.
Right, but for the new fans. But that doesn't mean that other stories aren't being written. I mean, there's going to be...
Her point, I think, is people don't care about them.
And, well, then part of her job and part of our job is to tell the other stories. And we talk about the other stories. You're right. It's being overwhelmed right now. It's being overwhelmed by Caitlin Clark and now Angel Reese going back at her. You know, those are the big stories. But that happens in a lot of sports. Listen, the whatever the top, you know, Conor McGregor gets, you know, 9 out of 10 headlines. We know most of them are bunk and nonsense, but that's what people want. You give them that, and then hopefully they get more interested in the sport. You got a great storyline tonight that I know you're going to dig on, and that is Players Association, you know, president and VP are going to be going head-to-head in the game, and I think there's a good piece to be probably written out of that, or multiple pieces on what's going on the player level in terms of, you know, growth of the league with the charters, player safety, play on the court. So what are you looking for here? And who are the players?
So Neka Ogumike from Seattle is the president of the Players Association, and Kelsey Plum is the vice president. Then each team has player representatives, but I'm going to try to get with both players after their warm-up. And I just want to get their take. Realistically, I don't want to sit there and pinpoint on one topic, because then all of a sudden I become the person prioritizing the players' topics, right? And that's something that they don't want. They don't want us taking judgment of. So I'm not pinpointing one topic. What I'm going to do is ask each one of them, hey, new buzz this year, how excited are you as far as the president or the VP, but also what have been some of the disappointing narratives, and what are some of the things through the first month of the season? You know, so it's the president versus the VP, the Storm versus the Aces, but it's also a good take to take just in terms of, you know, their communication throughout. Do they text one another, you know, and how often do they sort of communicate? Are there group chats with the player reps? How does that work? So just to kind of get their overview after the first month of the season, I thought it would be an interesting take.
Did you say who the Aces player rep was?
The vice president is Kelsey Plum, but the player reps, I believe, are Alicia Clark and Chelsea Gray.
Yeah, I guess the question is Kelsey talking?
She is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to leave?
No, I just...
Okay, I didn't know if you had...
Think
you got to hustle down.
Didn't think she was talking to the media since the video came out.
I need that. Yeah.
Well, she was on the Zoom today. She was on the shoot-around Zoom today. How about this? So I asked... I'm doing a feature also, a Sunday read. I think I'm going to do it for Sunday. But on making Team USA, what it means to sort of... It's a totally different, elation, if you will, away from becoming a pro. Cam Brink and Haley Van Lith, we saw some emotional videos. So Kelsey comes on today. I've already talked to, like, Cheryl Reeve, who's the coach of the team, not 3-on-3. Nafisa Collier, Tanisha Wright. So I jump on the Zoom, and I sort of stammered like I just did to Kelsey. I was like, Kelsey, I'm not sure if you saw the video, but and I paused, and then I said Cam Brink and Haley Van Lith, but at the same time I'm thinking, geez, I hope she didn't think that I was about to come at her about the other video, because that was not the case, But anyway, I think she's done two Zoom sessions since, and Kelsey's been fine. She hasn't, you know, I think Kelsey has no problem shooting you down and telling you, hey, I'm not, no comment. You know what I mean? So, I mean, she has no problem in shutting things down. And I believe it's between the 90 and 60 window, they have to talk. And if they don't, they're going to get fined. Or I would guess that we get reprimanded. So,
can you ask her why she stabbed Darren at the beach?
I probably won't, because I do enjoy having a credential. So, and those are only allegations.
You're going to let the courts handle it?
I am.
You really are a buffoon. You really are about the stupid.
Nobody's talking. You can't just stab somebody and leave him on the beach.
It's a video.
With water flowing into his mouth.
It's art.
And then him waking up, even though he's supposed to be dead. Because it's tough to act dead through water hitting your face.
Speaking of videos, Willie, before we get to a little Caitlin Clark and her availability earlier today, well, we saw tweets the other day from Chicago Sky players saying they were harassed in D.C. Then we see a video come out, and it just kind of looked like a person on the street doing TMZ-like work, trying to ask some questions. And I saw Barstool, a very fine house of journalism, questioning the truth of the whole thing with some of the comments from Kennedy, Clark, and Reese on this. I wouldn't call it an attack, but they were certainly concerned. What's your take on this whole thing? What did you see on the video, and is anyone else talking about it?
I searched high and low and then stopped because I wasn't going to rack my brain looking for the video, so I didn't. But here's the thing. The way that it came out when the first tweet I saw was Isabel Harrison's. Then it was Angel Reese's. Then I saw the extended one. Who had the thread? She wasn't with the team. Was it Breonna Turner, I think? Here's the thing. The tweets were so dramatic, and I was like, Jesus, what took place? What threw me was the next day when everybody shot it down and said, because the tweets were, where's security? This is BS. We shouldn't be going through this, blah, 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 blah. But the next day I was like, hey, thank God for security. They really addressed it immediately. Okay, was it one extreme or the other? Do we just want a reaction because of all the other narratives that are taking place? So we got off the bus, we got into the lobby, and we just started tweeting erratically. That's what I think happened. Because the next day, Teresa Witherspoon and a couple of others were like, thank God that they handled it immediately. It was shut down, da-da-da-da, and that was it. So one day it was completely out of control, and the next day it was no, good on them. I don't know what to make of it other than, you know, you have these fans. They're going to figure it out. They're going to find out. But I think that the teams do a good job. I think that, you know, they do the best they can with the security that they have on with them. The WNBA is going to do what they can. And it sounds like it got shut down immediately. I don't think that, you know, it's impossible to, you know, hide them all together. Someone's going to find out at some point in time. Other times it's going to be perfect, and there'll be no problems, and the bus will show up, and no one will know that they arrived. But I found it strange that they got off the bus, they got in the lobby, and then we're seeing tweets that were completely crazy, and the next day it was, thank God for the security, everything's fine.
Adam Hill, Willie Ramirez, Cofield and company. We're getting ready for the Storm and the Aces tonight. A little game breakdown coming up in just a couple minutes. I know you're always watching all the Zooms and getting in on the availability for WNBA players. Well, the Fever have a very winnable game tonight. It's been a little bit of a break finally for Caitlin Clark, and she was available. What'd she talk about? How did she present herself? What was it like?
She sounded, I think I've said on one of my interviews with you that there was one time that Caitlin, she came on the Zoom and she just looked weathered, dark circles, tired, voice just kind of, she looked completely refreshed. She was answering questions. They were asking her questions about players. It's not even in tonight's game, just your first thought. There was somebody there talking because they're in D.C., and a nearby hometown of Alyssa Thomas. I mean, she had the whole scouting report broken down. She was very good today. Christy Sides, the coach, said that the team was a little upset with her because she came in. She said, wow, you ladies look rested. They're like, what does that mean, coach? We don't look good or what? We're not intense enough for you? She's like, no. I mean, that's good. You look rested. I thought the best thing that they could have done was taken Monday and Tuesday off from everything. Then apparently they did a team bonding dinner, which is good. You know, they just needed time to breathe. And sort of enjoy themselves, enjoy their personal lives without everybody in their face with something, right? I think we covered this last week. I said, like, at one point, they were playing every 1.8 days, which meant they didn't even have time to do a practice to work on the things that they needed to work on from the night before because they had to do a walkthrough for the next day. So I thought she came across fantastic today. She looked great. She looked, you know, very, you know, in terms of her face or just, you know, her facial expressions, she seemed fine. And Chris Sides too, because the coach has been under fire as well. So It wouldn't surprise me if we see their best performance tonight.
They're 4.5-point favorites on the road against the Mystics. Aces at home tonight, 7 o'clock tip. 7.5 against the Storm. What do you think?
You know what? It's amazing to me to see Asia. Like I just don't think that anybody thought that Asia Wilson could continue to get better. It just seems like every single game this year in particular, she just keeps getting better. She just there's nothing that this woman can't do, and I think that they're finally coming together. I think that the signing of Tiffany was incredible, and she really stepped up and proved herself in the last game in Dallas, and it's filled an incredible void and sparked the team with not just offense, but you know, in terms of experience and a little bit of veteranism, if you will, on the court, and an extension of the coaching staff, because it's one thing to come in and learn the system, but when you have the experience that she does, she's going to adapt immediately, and maybe she's still learning Becky's system, but she's going to understand what's taking place with the opposition and be able to tell the Kate Martins and when they come onto the court, or even relay it to Casey Plum or Jackie on whoever's on the floor. So I thought that was a huge pickup, and I think Asia's just, I mean, she's just, I can't even explain how – I think if you watch the last game, we all know. I mean, she's hands down the greatest player in the world in terms of the woman's side. I don't think that there's anybody that can stop her.
Oh boy. She's the second-best player, you mean.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to tell me behind who.
Only Caitlin Clark's the only player that exists, so she's only playing for second.
Okay. Okay. Asia Wilson's averaging 28 points, 12 rebounds. is this a good MVP bet? The number is as high as minus 155, 160 for her to be the MVP. I think it actually might be some value there even at that number. 30 games left in the season, but she's probably going to continue to put up monster numbers this year, sans an injury.
Well, let's not forget about the press conference last year, right after the MVP was awarded. And Becky said, I want to know who voted her fourth, because if I would have just played her more in the fourth quarter or played her minutes and spread them out differently. So I don't think Becky's doing that specifically, but the same token, it's kind of like we're taking no prisoners. And I think that the way that they started the season, especially on defense, there's just a little bit more of an emphasis on her involvement and what's taking place because, I think it's a cheap price. It wouldn't surprise me if they go into the Olympic break, the All-Star break and Olympic break, and that's minus $2.
Last one, and I saw you tweet about this, and we got like 40 seconds left. You know, there's someone out there who should understand how to build the women's game and how to play into the hype, but he has no idea what he's doing, and he's actually one of the reasons I think basketball isn't as big as it should be, and that's Gino Auriemma, who was saying the other day about the rookie class, and it's not even one of the best rookie classes of the last 10 years. What's the point, Gino? Why?
Yeah, I didn't understand it, but here's the thing. We all have our own opinions, right? I mean, we all can sit there and take a stance. I want to know who's the other rookie class. I want to know which rookie. I mean, if you're going to make that statement, then come back and tell us which one you think is better, right? So I don't know which one, but I think he went a little bit too far with that statement. But you know, the rest of it was where he, you know, the whole video is actually pretty interesting with Dan Patrick in terms of just the fact that he says Caitlin Clark was set up for failure. She was put in a bad position, which I think we can agree, you know, everything that all the expectations and the way that the league has called upon her to do certain things in interviews, and she's doing three a day on game days. It's rough and tough. But the comment about the rookie class threw me for a loop because I want to know who's better. I want to know which one. And if you're right, you're right. But at least say who it is.
Willie, we appreciate it. We'll look for you out at the game. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
We got the game coming up tonight. Aces Storm. Aces back at home at the Mick Ultra Arena, 6:30 with the tip right here on ESPN Las Vegas.